You have your Bible, if you will, turn to Revelation chapter 12. We're still in the middle of this vision that John is having as Jesus is walking him through the events of not only end times, but the events of history and leading up to these woes, these seven trumpets that will eventually lead into the seven bowls of wrath. But in this time, periodically, we see the camera zooming back and God giving John and the church an overview of spiritual history. And in chapter 12, we see that again. We have seen where God is describing the things that are going to be taking place right before His second coming, right before that seventh trumpet is sounded, and it's kind of zoomed in kind of tight and talking about the events that are going to be taking place and how difficult things are going to be, and the second woe is past, the third is yet to come. And then suddenly we begin to see in chapter 12, we see the camera begin to zoom back out, and it goes from specifics to begins to reminding John and reminding the church of the spiritual history of the world. And the things that have been going on and the things that have been happening and how there's always been this great spiritual battle taking place that most of us have no idea that's going on. But there's always this struggle between good and evil, between the forces of God and Satan. And we all know that God is almighty. He could have ended it a long time ago. But in God's sovereign plan, He's let this battle play out, and He's let us, His creation, decide which side we're going to be on. Whether we're going to love Him or we're going to love ourselves. We're going to love the world or we're going to love God. And this battle for the souls of men, this battle for the eternal destination of mankind is being played out. So in chapter 12, we begin to see a great drama, this great movie of the ages begin to play out, and John is stepping back and seeing these cosmic events, this history of the spiritual warfare. So this is not necessarily just something that happened in one specific time. It's very symbolic in this chapter. They're in this great drama that's going to be unfolding and being played out before John's eyes. It's just like any other drama you see. You got a protagonist and an antagonist. You got different characters that are playing that represent different things. So as we read it and as we look at it, we've got to look at it from looking from way back and looking at history and looking at how things have played out over history and this great drama that's been going on as spiritual warfare has been taking place. So we're going to read through this chapter, and then we'll come back and we'll look at the different people and the different things that are represented in it. Beginning of verse 1 of chapter 12, it says, excuse me. A great sign appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet and her head crowned with 12 stars. And she was with child, and she cried out, being in labor and in pain to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his head were 7 diadems. And his tail swept away a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she gave birth, he might devour this child. And she gave birth to a son, a male child, who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and to his throne. Then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared by God, so that there she would be nourished for 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven, Michael and his angels waging war against the dragon. The dragon and his angels waged war, and they were not strong enough, and there was no longer a place found for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, and the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world, he was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Then I heard a loud voice of heaven saying, Now the salvation and the power of the kingdom of our God and the authority of His Christ have come for the accuser of the brethren has been thrown down, he who accuses them before our God day and night. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life even when faced with death. For this reason, rejoice, O heaven, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has come down to you having great wrath, knowing that he has only a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was thrown down to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the child. And the two wings of the great eagle were given to the woman so that she could fly into the wilderness to her place, where she was nourished for a time and times and a half time from the presence of the serpent. And the serpent poured out water like a river out of his mouth after the woman, so that he might cause her to be swept away by the flood. But the earth helped her. And the earth opened up its mouth and drank up the river which the dragon poured out of his mouth. So the dragon was enraged with the woman and went off to make war with the rest of her children who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. Let's pray. Lord God, we are so thankful that you are fighting the battle. Lord, we have a part to play, and we are to put on our spiritual armor, and we are to wage war against those forces that try and tempt us and try and lead us astray. God, we have a portion of the battle, but the victory is yours. The war is yours. And God, we understand that in your sovereignty and in your wisdom, God, you've let this war rage on for a while. But God, you, in your timing, when everything is as you have ordained it to be, God, you will end this battle. And Lord, we look forward to that day. God, I look so forward to the day when evil is done away with. Even in my own flesh, God, it's done away with. But God, when we can experience life as it was intended to be, in perfect, right fellowship and relationship with you, and we can walk with you in the cool of the day, we can worship you face to face. But God, until that day, may we be mindful, may we be participating, may we be warriors for the cause of Christ. And God, we just love you and we trust you. And Lord, we want to be a part of your kingdom's victory here on earth. We want to win more people to the side of the King. God, we love you and we praise you and we thank you for this opportunity. Open our hearts and our minds tonight as we study your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So in the middle of this vision that John is having of these seven trumpets, we get down, they've blown the sixth trumpet. We've got two woes that have passed. Man, things are getting bad on the earth. And all of a sudden, like I said before, the picture zooms out and John begins to see a great dramatic expression in the heavens. Look what he says. He says, a great sign appeared in heaven, talking about the sky. He's looking up now to this great 3D movie theater. And he's seeing these things play out. And he begins to see, God begins to reveal to him what has been happening in the unseen realm and what has been happening since the beginning of time, as there's this great struggle for the souls of men. So it says in first, we see the first character is the woman. It says there is a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. Now, again, this is not a literal woman. This is a representation of God's people. It's a representation of how God sees his people. There have been very few times throughout the history of fallen man that even the people that love the Lord seem to radiate the glory of the Lord. The people of Israel, very few times, very seldom, when God had brought his people out of Egypt and established his kingdom, there was very seldom that you read in Scripture where you would look at Israel and say, man, they're demonstrating, they're shining in the glory of the Lord. They're glowing in perfection. We wouldn't say that of the people of Israel. We wouldn't say that even of the New Testament church. I mean, there were some things that were great about it, and God was moving. But you read in Corinthians, you read Galatians, you read, man, the church was struggling. you wouldn't say that much about the church today, that when you look at the church, that you see them in perfection, and the church represents and radiates the glory of God. But the symbolism here is that God sees His people as He sees His people. This is how God sees us. Not that we're perfect, but we are clothed in the righteousness of Jesus. We are His, and we have been given a righteousness apart from the law. And the people of God, the people that He loves, the people that His affections toward are, this woman represents people who have feared the Lord, who have pursued the Lord, who have lived the Lord imperfectly, but yet when God sees them because of their faith in Him, He sees them as righteous. And so you see the splendor of this woman, much, much better than we would think of her, but it's how God sees us. I'm so thankful that God sees me through the righteousness of Christ. Now, I remind Him all the time that I'm a sinner. He doesn't miss out on that. But when He looks at me, when He sees me as forgiven and righteous. I am now clothed in the righteousness of Jesus. And just like we look back to the cross, they look forward to the cross. When they placed their faith, just like Abraham, he believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. It's faith. So he's looking at his faithful church. He's looking at his faithful people here. And this woman represents his faithful people. And in the Old Testament, that was Israel. And it describes here that this woman is pregnant. And he describes her as having, that she had the 12 stars. And it could represent the 12 tribes of Israel. But it simply means the completion. It's the collective people of God as He sees them clothed in splendor. It says she was with child and she began to cry out as in labor and in pain, in the pain of giving birth. This woman was about to meet the fruition of her time, and God's plan of salvation, God's plan for humanity was about to come forth from her. And then in verse 3 we see this second character, the antagonist, if you will. It says, there was another sign appeared in heaven. And behold, a red dragon having 7 heads, 10 horns, and on his head were 7 diadems. Now, excuse me, these numbers, again, are numbers we've seen before in Revelation, we've seen in other places. These are numbers that represent things. When it says that this dragon, he is said to have 7 heads, perfection and wisdom, very, very wise. The devil is sneaky. The devil is smarter than you and I. We're not going to outthink Satan. We're not going to be wiser than Satan. He is very wise. And it says that on these 7 heads, it says that he had 10 horns. The horns represent power. So he's wise, he's powerful, and then on these 7 heads set 7 diadems. Now, a diadem is a crown. It's a crown that represents authority. The wearer of the crown that has authority. Now, there's a crown of life that we're going to get. It's totally different. A diadem is a jeweled crown. It's a crown that a king would wear. And on these heads of this dragon, he is given authority. And in this world, Satan is given authority. He has power, he has authority, and he has wisdom. But he also has great animosity towards the people of God. He has great animosity toward this child that's about to be born. He is setting there, it says in verse 4, that he has a tail that swept away a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth so that when she gave birth, she might devour the child. He has been at work to try and undo everything God is planning and has done. Says that his tail swept a third of the stars out of heaven. It could mean that he, when he failed, when Satan left, and we know that legions of angels followed after him in rebellion against God. It could mean that a third of the angels in heaven left. Don't know. It could just simply mean a large number. It could mean that since the creation of man, Satan entered the world as a serpent and he fooled the woman and brought sin into the world as she rebelled against God and the Word of God. And he has been attacking all of God's creation, not just humanity. It could mean that, or it could represent his animosity toward all of God's creation. And the wreckage and the problems that sin has created even in nature. Don't know exactly what that means, but I tend to think it's talking about the angels that left heaven with him, that rose up in rebellion against God when he raised in rebellion. But now he's standing before the woman, it says, and he's waiting to devour, representing the fact that all throughout the history of humanity, all throughout the since the fall of man, before the fall of man, and up through this point, Satan has been at work trying to derail the plan of salvation for humanity. He's been trying to take as many away from God as he can. He's trying to lead as many astray as he can. And ultimately, his goal, when Jesus came on the scene, what did he do when Jesus came and was baptized in the River Jordan and started his ministry and started his walk to the cross? What was the first thing the devil did? Met him in the wilderness and tempted him. If he could have got Jesus to sin, there goes God's plan of salvation. If he could have gotten Jesus to sin, then everything that he did would have ended, or that God was doing to try and redeem humanity would have been derailed. So all throughout the history of humanity, Satan has had great enmity. He has hated humans because they are the object of God's love. They're the object of God's pursuit of grace and mercy. And in order to hurt the Father, he can't do anything to God, but if he can't do anything to God, the next thing is to attack the ones that he loves. Same thing that humans do. They may not can get to you, but they'll attack your kids. They'll attack your wife. They'll attack your... They may not can get to you, but they're going to find somebody or something that you love and start trying to destroy it and tear it down. That's been the ploy of Satan and the way of Satan from the beginning. He can't hurt God, but he can hurt the heart of God by attacking those whom he loves. So he's been at odds with humanity. He's been at odds with God's people trying to destroy God's plan to derail God's salvation. So in this great drama that's taking place, you see the woman who's pregnant representing God's people and representing God's glory in people. And then the dragon, who is the antagonist, the one that's trying to destroy God's work and to destroy this child. And verse 5 says, she gave birth to a son, a male child, and his name was Jesus. He's talking about Jesus. It says that he gave son to a male child who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. And her child was called up to God and to his throne. Now here again, there have been a lot of theologians who take issues with the wording here and saying, well, God didn't snatch him up to save him from Satan. I mean, he had already won the victory on the cross and when he raised from the dead. He's not trying to give us systematic theology. What he's trying to give us is an overview of what's been happening. God, when Jesus had completed his work on earth, what did he do? He ascended into heaven and is now seated at the right hand of the Father. All right. So he's given us an overview of what's been going on, not trying to give us systematic theology and exactly precise things that happened. Okay? So when Jesus' work was done on earth, when he had defeated Satan, when he had raised from the dead, God brought him up to heaven and he's seated at the right hand of the Father. In verse 6, then the woman fled into the wilderness where she had a place prepared by God so that she would be nourished for 1,260 days. Now, there have been all kinds of times that Satan has been trying to destroy God's people. It happened with Hitler. It happened with the Romans at this particular time when Christians were being persecuted and burned as candles in Nero's garden and all of the things been happening. Satan has been working through the powers of government to try and destroy God's people forever. But God has always protected a remnant somewhere. And the description here is that Satan is trying to destroy God's work. Satan is trying to destroy God's people, but God is always protecting them. Sometimes it's taking them to a wilderness. Sometimes it's mixing them in with the nations. But God is always watching over his people, and he will always have a remnant. And again, this is a drama of the things that's been going on. So God has always been taking care of His people. God has always been their protection. So He gives a number of days. He says that she was going into the wilderness to be nourished, to be taken care of, to be provided for, to be protected for 1,260 days. We looked at this previously. This just simply denotes a specific amount of time, not necessarily exactly 3.5 years. We know that God's people has been being watched over and protected by God more than just 3.5 years. Okay? But this phrase is often used to denote a specific set period of time. God has a specific set timetable in which He is going to execute His plan of salvation, and then the fixed day in His timetable where sin is going to be dealt with and Satan is going to be finally defeated and His kingdom is going to be set up on earth. So here it's representing a set period of time. All right? We use phrases like that all the time where we're just talking about a month of Sundays. You know? Seems like it takes a month of Sundays for something to get done around here. We're not literally talking about 30 different Sundays and 30 weeks. We're just simply saying it's a set period of time. It's a period of time that seems like it's going for a long time. So when He uses this example, and we'll see it again later on in this same chapter, where He's saying, look, it's for a set period of time. God has determined how long this is going to have to happen. How long He's going to protect His people. How long before the final destruction of Satan. So in verse 7, there's another one that shows up. Another character in this story. So far we've got three. We've got the woman, we've got the big red dragon, and we've got the male child. Now we have a fourth. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels waged war, and they were not strong enough, and there was no longer a place for them in heaven. There's been several times throughout Scripture where we see that the devil was cast out of out of heaven, where he no longer had access. He was cast down to the earth. In Genesis, at the very beginning, when Satan tempted the woman, he had already been thrown down to earth. He was now here on earth to tempt her. We see in Ezekiel and other places where we see the story of how Satan used to be the angel that was favored, this one who was so smart, the wisest, but yet rebelled against God, wanted to elevate himself above God, and God cast him out of heaven and took however many angels with him. And there's been this conflict between Satan's angels and Michael. And the first time the conflict happened, he was cast out of heaven. And it says he waged war, but he wasn't strong enough. And Michael and the angels prevailed. But then again, if you read in Daniel, I believe it's in Daniel or Ezekiel, where there was is Daniel. When Daniel had this dream, had this vision, and he was trying to figure out, it was worrying and weighing heavy on him so much. He was trying to figure out, and it says for 21 days, for 3 weeks, he fasted and he prayed, trying to find out what the answer was, trying to get God to tell him what it was. And eventually, Michael shows up on the scene. The angel Michael shows up and says, look, I've been trying to get, or excuse me, Gabriel came and says, look, I've been trying to get to you for 3 weeks, but I've been being held back by the angel of the Assyrians, the Persians, thank you. So there's a war. He was held up for 3 weeks before he could come and deliver the meaning of the vision that Daniel had had. So there's this great spiritual battle, this warfare that's happening between the angels of God and the angels that have fallen. And it's still going on today. We need to understand, we are in spiritual warfare. There is a spiritual battle that's happening that we don't see, that things are going on in a realm that we don't know anything about. And God is at work, and Satan is just as hard at work trying to destroy what God is doing. So it says that, verse 9 says, and the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan. So he identifies, who's this red dragon? Who's this character? Who does he represent? Well, he represents the serpent who was there in the garden to tempt Adam and Eve. He is the devil, the one that's called the slanderer. He is Satan, the accuser of the brethren. This one who has been our adversary all along, who has been at odds with God and trying to destroy His people and His plan of salvation from the beginning of time. This is the one that we're fighting against. And He is the one who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and His angels were thrown down with Him. Then I heard a loud voice saying, "Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of God and the authority of His Christ have come, for the accuser of their brethren has been thrown down, he who accused them before God both day and night." So you see, he's looking forward now. The drama is moved into the future. There's eventually going to be a time where he's thrown down for the last time, and the accuser is done away with. And the kingdom of God, Christ is going to set up His earthly kingdom. We'll get to that later on in Revelation. So you see, from this great drama is from eternity past, things that are going on now, and to the future where sin and Satan is dealt with for the last time. So it's a drama of the ages. The spiritual warfare that's been taking place, the conflict over the souls of men. It says, verse 11, "And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb, because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life even when faced with death." He says, look, the people of God have a part to play in this. We have a part to play in this. We overcome this one who is strong, this one who has authority. We are overcomers. We have the victory that we sang about in Jesus this morning because of the blood of the Lamb, because of the grace of God, because of the testimony of His Word. And when we love God more than we love our very own lives, that's how we win the victory. That's how we experience victory today. It's not because we're smarter than Satan. It's not because we're more powerful than Satan. It's not because we're tougher than the temptation. It's because of the blood of the Lamb, the testimony of His Word. Because He is the one who sustains us and takes care of us, and we love Him more than life itself. That's how we overcome. Verse 12, "For this reason, because we have victory, because it's made available to us, and we can participate in that victory, for this reason rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them." He says we need to be excited. Don't be sad for those saints who have gone on to heaven. They're through with the conflict. The battle is no longer significant to them other than looking on and hoping that God will end this soon. But they're no longer in the conflict. He says, "Rejoice, you who are in heaven, but woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has come down to you having great wrath, knowing that he has only a short time." He's mad. He knows he's only got a little while. And he's going to wreak all the havoc and the destruction he can in that short period of time. So when John sees this great drama and he sees all this happening, he hears the voice, "Rejoice, those of you who are in heaven. You have reached the goal. You have been elevated above the fray. But those who are left, woe to you." Because Satan's mad, the devil's mad, and he's going to take all his anger out on you. And we're going to see as we begin to walk through the rest of Revelation, we begin to see how God has set up government. God ordained government. But Satan has hijacked government and uses government to try and destroy the people of God and to wage war against Christians. And as time moves on, as we get closer to the end, the government is going to become a stronger ally, is going to become a stronger tool in the hand of Satan to try and destroy God's people. Look back at history. It was nations that rose up. Some of them because God raised them up to go against God's people. Some of them, like Moab, that weren't raised up to hate God's people, but they just decided to try and kill God's people. Satan used them to try and destroy God's people. The Philistines. Look to recent history in the 20th century, the Nazis. I mean, it was the government was raised up. Satan was using the government to try and wipe out all of God's people. I mean, that's why you had the Holocaust. It was because Satan was using Hitler and his government to try and wipe out all of any people that named the name of Jesus, that loved God, that were chosen by God. You see it all throughout the Roman government, and you're going to see it in the end times when all the world's government declares war on Christians. So, he says, woe those that are left, because this great tribulation is coming. And then verse 13 it says, and when the dragon saw that he was thrown down to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. Talking about Israel. They've been being attacked and still are being attacked even today. It says, and the two wings of the great eagle were given to the woman so that she could fly into the wilderness to her place where she was nourished for a time and times and a half time from the presence of the serpent. Again, it doesn't mean that literally they were moved away and the devil couldn't get to them. But what it does say is that God gave them angels just like were picked up on eagle's wings to be carried and to be nourished, to be protected. God is always protecting a remnant. He's going to take care of His people. On this earth, we may be persecuted, we may even lose our life, but He's always going to have a remnant here. Governments have been trying to stamp out the church from the beginning. China's trying to do it now. India's trying to do it now. The Muslims are trying to do it in the Middle East. They can try all they want to, but they'll never stamp out the church. We will make it to the end. There will always be a remnant. But even if they do kill us, we're still nourished and protected by God. So here he's saying, look, God is always watching over His people. He's always going to take care of them. And again, this you see now this same time period, before it was the 1,260 days, now the same thing, the same length of time, 3.5 years is described here, time and a time and a half time. Times, time and a half time. Expressing the same thing. There is a set period of time that God's going to let the devil be against His church and be against His people, and He's going to fight after them, but it's only for a short period of time. And the serpent poured out water, verse 15, like a river out of his mouth after the woman, so that he might cause her to be swept away with a flood. There is a torrent of hatred towards God's people, and he is doing everything he can, and it will get worse. The flood will increase. Verse 16, but the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened up its mouth and drank up the river with the dragon pouring out of its mouth. So the dragon was enraged with the woman, Israel, and went off to make war with the rest of her children who kept the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus Christ. The world, Satan has always been against God's people. But when Jesus came on the scene and Christians came on the scene, now they're added to that. The Jews aren't going to be cut any slack. But Christians are going to be added to that number too. And folks, this is, again, it's a big picture. It's a movie of the ages that demonstrates how God is always watching over His people. The devil is always at work trying to destroy God's work. The devil is always at work trying to destroy the plan of salvation for humanity. Trying to keep people from being saved. Trying to deceive them and lead them astray. Trying to blind their eyes and stop up their ears to the gospel. The devil is always at work. He is going to rage against Christians, and it's just simply going to gain momentum and get worse and worse and worse. But God will always have a remnant. God will always protect His people. We are always His. Just like the 144,000 were sealed back in chapter 7, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. And God is watching over us. And even if they slay us, we will be in the presence of the Father, above the fray, out of the battle. It's not to be feared. It's not to be dreaded. But while we're here, we need to understand we are in the midst of spiritual warfare. The encouragement is God's going to win. God is going to win. Any thoughts?